Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a fascinating program lined up for our listeners today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen. Well, for our listeners, most of you know that Dave is the chaplain here at Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, WPFG. He does a fantastic job for us, and he has been pastoring for quite a few years. You might know him not only from his pastoring skills, but also if you remember the musical group that did gospel music for some 58 years, the Carriers. He was the bass singer. So Dave has a lot to offer our radio station, and he has a lot to offer our listeners. And he will share some valuable thoughts for you today. The major subject is what Jesus had to offer. And he had needs. Jesus had something that others needed. And that's what we're going to be talking about. It's a beautiful subject because, you see, everyone has problems. You know, you thought you were the only ones. No, everyone has problems. Your success and your happiness in your life depends on your willingness to help someone else solve their problems. Successful people are just simple problem solvers. That's all we are. That's what we get paid to do, solve problems. A successful attorney solves legal problems. A doctor solves your health problems, your physical health problems. The automobile mechanic, hey, he solves your car problems, right? Well, Jesus was a problem solver also. He wasn't just a decision maker. He was a problem solver. Thousands and thousands of people were burdened with guilt because of their sins, and Jesus offered them forgiveness. Same as today. Thousands were spiritually starved. He said, I am the bread of life. Hundreds have bodies riddled with sickness and disease. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick or oppressed by the devil in any way. That's scripturally based. Many, many, many people were possessed with evil spirits. Jesus set them free. You see, Jesus had something that others needed. Well, that's important. Let me say that sentence again, if I may. Jesus had something that others needed. It was true 2,000 years ago, the same as it is today. You see, he solved their problems. That's why thousands sat for days as he taught them concerning the laws of God and how to have extraordinary relationships with other people. You see, that's what it's all about, our interaction with other people. His products were boldly declared as eternal life. Yeah, that's what he was about. He was about joy. Yeah. He was about inner peace. Yes, he was. He was about forgiveness. Yes. His products was healing and health. Yes, it was. How about financial freedom? Take an inventory of yourself. What do you have to offer someone? What do you enjoy doing? What would you attempt to do if you knew it was simply impossible to fail? Well, that's where Jesus stood. You are not an accident. God planned for your birth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It's all written there. We don't have to make it up. It's written in the Bible for us to follow. Everything God makes is a solution to a problem. Every person God created is a solution to a problem. God wanted to love relationships. He created Adam. Adam was lonely, so God created Eve. This is the golden thread that links creation. Think of your contribution to another. as an assignment from God. I mean, that's where it comes from. A lawyer is assigned to his client. A wife is assigned to her husband. Parents are assigned to their children. A secretary is assigned to her boss. Your assignment is always to a person or a people. Now, for example, hey, Moses was assigned to the Israelites. Aaron was assigned to Moses. Your assignment will always solve a problem. So your life is a solution to someone in trouble. Yep. Find those who need you, and what do you have to offer to them? Build your life around that contribution. Jesus did, and that's why we celebrate his life to this day. That was Jesus' approach. My friend, what do you think, Dave? You always have some insight on some of these sensitive subjects. Jesus had a product, and Jesus was able to solve problems and come up with a resolution to about every issue known to mankind. What do you think?
I find myself thinking about how I lived my life. Anytime we came around people who we thought had a great future, we try to help them.
Yep.
I remember when we went to Trinidad, Barbados. We found a young man who had never been out of the country, on a little island. Mm-hmm. But he had a great potential. And we said, "Hey, Ed, why don't you come to America? Live with us for a couple days in Pennsylvania, and then you come home." And he said, "You mean you'll pay my way?" I said, "We'll help you. We can't offer you the world, but we can get you to America, and that'll open up your eyes." Man, we did that. He went around the world as a missionary.
Did he?
Oh, he made a hit in India. He went to India after that all the time. He might as well live there. Every time you help somebody, you help yourself. Yeah. I remember a precious story. A man came to America from Africa. Didn't have any extra money. He didn't have things he needed. He needed a car. He needed transportation. He needed a dozen things. And he decided he didn't know too much about American life. He didn't understand it. He didn't know how to go to the bank. He didn't know how to open up an account to put his money. He didn't know anything. So he was walking down the street, and he went to this car agency. And he walked in. He said to the salesman, he said, "Hey, I'm from Africa. I don't know much about America, but I need help. And I'm wondering if you would be the kind of guy that would help me. I need to buy a car. I need to go to the bank. I need somebody to take me there. I needed somebody to tell me what car to buy. I need you." And the salesman, boy, bless his heart, he said, "Hey, you came to the right place. I'm your man. I'll help you." And so he took him to the bank. He bought him helped him buy a car, took him there, taught him this, got him how to get into a place in the school. Made a total success out of the kid. He went back to Africa after graduated, and he got into the government as a job. And later on, you know, in a few years, the government came to him and said, "Hey, you've been to America. You know how to do all this stuff. We want to send you back to America and do some work for us." "Okay, be happy to do that. I'd like to go back." So they put him on a plane and sent him back to America and said to him when he's leaving, "We want to buy some trucks and some cars, and we want you to go to America and to buy them. You'll be the best man we ever got, and we will never be cheated." So the guy got on the plane, came to America, went right back to the same place where that man had helped him. And he walked in and said, "Hey, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. What's happening?" He said, "Oh, I want to thank you for blessing me. I am today because of you, and today I'm going to pay you back." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I came to buy some pickup trucks." "How many do you want?" "I want 350. And then he said, "I want to buy some dump trucks." Well, how many dump trucks do you want to buy? He said, I want 750 dump trucks. He said, that's almost 1,100
vehicles.
And the man said, you got to be kidding me. This is millions of dollars. He said, you're going to make me a rich man today. But just by handing in this 1,100 vehicles in one day, I couldn't sell that in years. And the man said, here's the money. Here's where you send them. I'm going home knowing that I've done my job, and you get all the credit. I love that story.
That is a stirring story, yes.
I love that story. I love to see people get blessed for what they do for God.
Yes.
I mean, you can expect a lot of things after you hear that story. Hey, God, man, I'm giving you this today. Well, what are you going to come back with?
350 pickup trucks. How about that one?
It's just like me going to Barbados. Yes,
that's right.
For a 3-year term.
Yeah.
With no pay. No money. Pay. Dave, you can come, but you have to come for free. Yeah. I said, I'll come for free. Took my family down there, worked for 3 years left, having not we didn't get a dime. But 32 years later, I was in Barbados 32 years ago, and this year, they couldn't pay me because the government was against Americans taking money.
Yeah.
But they said, in a letter that came to my home, that said, first letter in 32 years that I received from Barbados, I'd forgotten about them. And they said, the government now allows us to pay Americans, and we want to go back 32 years and pay you for what you did in our church.
How about that?
Now, and for this last year, we have gotten a check every month.
Is that right?
I mean, it took 32 years.
Isn't that wonderful?
God never, ever forgets.
That's tremendous.
I spoke my piece, I guess.
Yes, you did. That's outstanding, Dave. That's outstanding. And I hope you continue to reap the benefits of the seeds that you planted years ago. You are a product of what we're talking about today. Jesus did that. He had a plan. He had a purpose. And he had a product. Jesus believed in his product the same as you believe in your product. And that's what this program is about today. Have you ever walked into a room and felt anger in the atmosphere? Have you ever walked into a room and felt love and energy and excitement? Well, unfortunately, we've had both of those experiences. Most of us have. Your thoughts have presence. They are like currents moving through the air. Those thoughts are capable of drawing people toward us or driving people away from us. Your attitude is always sensed. You will never succeed in any business unless you really believe in that business. You must believe in the product you are promoting. Your doubt will eventually surface. Look at the life of Jesus. He believed he could change people. He believed that his product would satisfy people. Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. That was his product. That was like your product that you were talking about, Dave. You are planting the seeds. You are doing good with no expectation in return. And here it is, years later, you are being thanked by the Lord. Praise the Lord for those friends of yours in Barbados who remembered the seed that you planted, and now it's time for you to enjoy the harvest. What makes you believe in your product? Well, is it your product knowledge? Jesus had a product. It was his life. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10 says just that. That was his product. You see, he saw the damaged product. He knew what the devil could do. He knew that he was their connection for repair. Nobody could take his place, and he knew it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10, verse 27 says just that. You will take the time and make the effort to know your product. It may bore you, or even seem unnecessary. You may be anxious to sell your product. Oh, maybe your success just doesn't happen that way. Well, you see, a lawyer must study new law. A doctor must keep well read on his latest journals concerning the body and new diseases. A policeman has to study his weapons. They evolve from day to day. The law of his community and his rights of the mindset of criminals. The policeman has to know all of those things, so he has to stay abreast of what's happening. If he does not study this, he knows that he's a dead man in the streets. His life is on the line. So don't expect to succeed unless you are thoroughly informed about your product. Are you discouraged by your present job? Are you feeling a bit hopeless? Then I suggest that you ask yourself some real soul-searching and honest questions. How much time have you spent cultivating an awareness in your business? Do you use your product? How many hours each day have you invested in becoming informed? Are you so busy trying to make a buck that you have really not developed a powerful understanding and confidence of what you are doing? You see, Jesus was very busy. He was teaching and preaching and traveling, performing miracles and mentoring to the unlearned. But he always took time to get along with his Father and to renew his understanding of his purpose, to renew his plan and his product. You see, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says just that. Jesus believed in his product, as Dave believes in his work for the Lord over the years. You believed in your music, you believed in your sermons, you believed in your mission work, you believed in your friends and your family. Dave, you are the ideal success that we should model our lives after. Do you have any powerful words of wisdom to share with our listeners concerning the powerful product that Jesus had to offer, and you likewise had a product to offer as well?
You know, when we started our singing group, we didn't have the money to get the company to make our records. And we decided we could save a fortune if we made them ourselves, the album covers. So we sat down and drew up a plan, and we could make 25 records a day. That was mostly what we got up out of bed to do. Before we left for the concert, we'd make 25 records. And we'd glue them together. We went and bought cardboard, and they printed a slick that we could glue on the cardboard and then slip the album in there.
Oh, so that, you made your own album jackets?
Yes, we did first year.
No kidding.
That was difficult. Sometimes, you know, we'd leave the glue jar, the lid off, and when we came home, it was all you couldn't move it. You know, it was hard.
It was hardened.
Well, we learned quickly that we could get some gasoline and pour it down in that jar, and it would come. Well, when we made our albums, they smelled like gasoline. We took them to church, and we get some up in the foyer, and everybody came in and said, "What's that? What's that smell? What's that?" And everybody was looking around, and we just stood back and got up against the wall and said, "No,
I don't smell anything.
What are we talking about?" And laugh all the way home.
That's funny.
If you have one of those albums in your house, it's worth a fortune. Worth a fortune. And the product is important.
Sure.
The product is important.
That was your product, yes.
We went to Camden, New Jersey to make our album, and a guy walked in and sat there for a while. We didn't know who he was. Come on in. We're just making a record. He listened for about maybe an hour. And he came and he said, "Hey, guys, I just figured it out." He said, "I've been looking for a group that could sing." He said, "You guys win. I want you guys on my record label. And all you have to do is change the words, and you'll make more money in 6 months than you can make the lifetime."
Wow, that's quite an offer.
We all stopped singing. We said, "Hey," he said, what do you think?" I said, "I'll tell you what. You go back out here, and we're going to have a little prayer meeting. Yeah. Ask God about this."
Yeah.
because it entails changing our whole lifestyle and what we're doing, what we believe. We don't want to sing the world's music.
Oh, he wanted you to change from gospel music.
Oh, you got to change everything.
I see.
You guys are good, but you're singing the wrong words. Well, the guy went out, the room closed the door, and we all looked at each other and said, boy, can we make money in 6 months and then go back to doing what we're doing? He said, no, we're not doing that. We are gospel singers. God called us to sing gospel. We are not changing that for anybody. You tell that man to go find another group. We are not going to do that.
Wow.
When we got back in our car and we were going home that day, we all looked at each other and we said, did we do the right thing? And, you know, 58 years later, we would go back and tell you that story.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell you the feeling that was in our heart that day, the devil who tried to rob us of everything we were.
Yep.
We're just kids. Yeah. We were broke.
Oh, and they were offering you lots of money.
We needed a dollar.
Yeah.
We needed everything.
You were gluing your albums together yourself.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, we look back now. Boy, did we ever do the right thing.
Made the right decision.
There's a lot of people in life who do one thing wrong.
That's right.
And one thing can kill you.
That's exactly right.
But when you do over and over and over again, that's what we did. We learned from that man never to go back on God. And we had a lot of opportunities later on for bigger things and better things and do this and want you to sing this song. Well, when we just finally said, hey, guys, we are the Lord's singers. We're singing his music. Yeah. We're living our life. We got years ahead of us to do this. And I look back.
Yeah.
Boy, did we ever do the right thing a lot of times.
Yes.
So if you're asking
about your product, you understand your product.
Well, how about you that are at home? You're thinking, hey, Dave, I've had that opportunity. The world, they've offered me everything down at the place where I work. And I wanted to do their way. Yeah. And I said, no, that is not the way I live. And so sometimes you lose your job.
That happened to me right here in this area. I'm with you. I understand exactly what you're saying. The New Digs Ministry over in Mechanicsburg, they supply household materials to those people who are starting over for whatever reason. And they have a trailer where they pick up material. The people donate their good used furnitures to them so they can give it away to people who need it. And they have scripture written on the side of that enclosed trailer. And one of their board members found that they could get some grant money. The nonprofits like us, or like any nonprofit, we're always in need of dollars. Dollars are precious. It's not like it was generations ago when everyone supported Christian ministries. It's difficult these days. And there's a guy that found that they could get a grant if they would take the scripture off the side of their trailer.
Wow.
The scripture reading is, I think everyone knows, if I had said to you Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, you'd probably know what it means. Some people do, some people do not. Is where Jesus talked about, if I'm in prison, you would visit me. If I'm sick, you will heal me. If I'm hungry, you will feed me. And inasmuch as you've done this to others, you've done it for me. That's what Matthew 25, verse 40 says. Much more tactfully than the way I said it, of course. That's what was on the side of that trailer. And the executive director or the founder of that organization said, nope. Oh, we need the money. I appreciate you trying to help me out, but we're not taking that scripture off the side of this trailer. They said, well, you can't get the money if there's scripture on there, because they won't service Christian organizations. But if you take that off, they'll give you the money. I said, no, we don't need the money that bad. The scripture stays. And that's exactly what she did. That is a testimony of the product, people who are believing in what they have and what they're doing for the Lord. The Lord works in powerful ways, and if you don't compromise your principles, you can be as fortunate as Jesus was. You can be as fortunate as Dave was. He just cited a perfect example of the opportunities he had to get rich quick when he was young, but he turned it down. And the example of the New Digs Ministry over there, same thing. They couldn't go by their principles. Dave, our engineer's telling us we've exhausted our time, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Would you share a closing thought with our listeners?
Yes.
In support of this ministry, please?
Yes. You know, I came in here today with nothing to say, and I said to myself, Dave, you're coming here, you're empty. You don't have a thing to say to anybody. You come up with this subject, and boy, I could write a book on this radio program.
Yes, that's right. You could.
It's so much fun to work with you, Giff, and so much fun to talk to our people who love WBFG. I'm here today to say I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you kindly, my friend. Bye-bye.